C1R. Number 15A.
Now we come to the fourth side of the holy city, which means that it describes the science. And so here too, in recapitulation, the next six questions and answers all deal with science, with understanding. The first three questions and answers are the way to understanding, and the last three are showing us really that understanding constitutes man, or that understanding constitutes being. So we can see there are two very different categories. The one, the first one, from the standpoint of Christian Science, gives us the way to understanding. It's always showing us how do we get understanding, not so much what constitutes understanding. Whereas when we come to absolute Christian Science, then we can see that when we have understanding, that we have beingness, that we are man, because we always know that what we entertain in consciousness, that we are. So the very first question is showing us how to get understanding, on what to build understanding. So science reflecting the word is always a statement, is always a declaration, is always a clarification of the subject. So here we will find, as our epitome reads, that mind faculties, not material sense, are necessary for gaining scientific understanding. So we hear here the tone that, and also the answer to that question, how do we get understanding, what do you have to do to get understanding, that here she would present the fact that only on the basis of divine mind faculties do we actually gain scientific understanding. Now, divine mind faculties are presented here in contrast to what? What is it that usually we feel is getting us understanding, getting us a knowledge of the world? We usually think that through the material senses we can behold the world, we can grasp the world, we can understand the world, that which the material senses testify really give us an understanding of what really happens in the world. Even when we come to natural science, they all try to bring all the data back to visible measurements. You know, that was the great point when the time of the Renaissance was the time of the rebirth of scientific thinking, that then they made that big statement, it was Galilei that made it, that he said that we must measure everything, and that which we cannot measure, we must translate so that it can be measured. And so if you look today into the field of technology and science, one sees that everything is being measured. Electricity is being measured, pressure is being measured, everything, velocity and so on, is being measured and made visible to the eye. And classical science still says, well, that which you cannot testify, that is actually not real, that we don't have to believe, only that is real and true, which we can make evident to the material senses. So here you have really this question, is it really necessary that we must have something else than the material senses in order to learn the truth about being? The answer is yes, instead of the material senses, we need the divine mind faculties. So here we have a great comparison between the divine mind faculties and the material senses. The question reads like that. It reads, is materiality the concomitant of spirituality? And is, it's the same question, is material sense a necessary preliminary to the understanding and expression of spirit? The question is materiality, is material sense necessary in order to gain understanding, the understanding of spirit, of God? So we'll read together the answer. I think this is an important question, and therefore we may consider together again the text, and I read it again and try to interpret it the way one would perhaps approach such a text. Here the answer is to that question. Perhaps I give first an overall view or an indication. I always have said that if one approaches a text, smaller, longer text, that it is always good if one first reads the whole text through various times just to listen to the main tone that is in the text so that one can catch, so to say, the theme of that whole text before one is able to break it down to the various subjects of that theme. Now, if we would read that text through various times, or perhaps you have done it over lunchtime and have read it through various times, you may have felt at once that here Mrs. Eddy touches on subjects which he has never really touched upon in recapitulation, that terms come up here that she has never used. What are these terms? They all terms that have some kind of a connection with understanding. For instance, that she speaks here in that text about instructing. Can you see it has to do with science, scientific schooling? It has to do with instructing, understanding, then learning, again with schooling, gaining spiritual understanding and spiritual sense, then schooling, exercise of mind faculties. There are all terms that in one way or the other have to do with the educational sense that is necessary for understanding. And that also in contrast to material sense, false notion, blindness of belief, ephemeral views, false sense, material beliefs, and so on, so that one can really feel right away that the text is showing us something about what constitutes understanding. All right, with that in view, we would read then the text more slowly and try to see if there is any line of reasoning going through the text. So here the answer is, if error is necessary to define or to reveal truth, the answer is yes, but not otherwise. Well, the answer is yes. The question was, is materiality the concomitant of spirituality? She says, yes, it is, just in one case, or in just in one, just in one respect, namely, only then when it is necessary to use error to define and reveal truth. Now, this is something that goes through Mrs. Eddy's work, that she always feels that in order to explain truth, she also has to explain the nature of error, so that by contrast, truth stands out much more. For instance, she says on the next page, then you can have no faith in falsehood when you have learned falsehood through nature. You see that she is pointing out, if we want to know the truth, we have also to learn falsehoods through nature, the negative. Or in the prose works, she will say, it is a rule in Christian Science never to repeat error unless, so there is an occasion when we should repeat error, unless it becomes requisite to bring out truth. So this is an answer and a confirmation why she says that in some instances it is right really to bring out and to define error, so that we see here also, for instance, this reference from Miss Seleny. She says, to teach the truth of life without using the word death, see the opposite, the suppositional opposite of life, were as impossible as to define truth and not name its opposite error. In metaphysics, we should definitely name the error, uncover it, and teach truth scientifically. So these are references, just a few, to substantiate what she is saying here, that under some circumstances it is right also to define error in order to reveal truth. But not otherwise, he says at the end of the sentence. But not otherwise. So from this point on, really, she shows now the true mind faculties. I read on. Material sense is an absurd phrase. And you get the sense of absurd, which has actually nothing to do with scientific understanding. It's the very opposite. For matter has no sensation. So she picks up material sense, you see, in italics, because that was her question. Is material sense a necessary preliminary to the understanding of spirit? So she first has to define and deal with material sense so as to show that material sense is absurd, therefore cannot be a preliminary for understanding. Then, the opposite, science declares that mind, not matter, sees, hears, feels, speaks. Now, can you see here, in place of material sense, she brings the mind senses, the divine mind senses, because material sense is what? It is seeing, hearing, feeling, speaking, and so on. Now she translated and says, but there is something that can hear, feel, speak, and so on, namely the divine mind. But naturally, mind sees and hears in a different way than material sense. So in place of material sense, science declares the mind senses, we would say. I go on, whatever contradicts this statement is the false sense, which ever betrays mortals into sickness, sin, and death. So she says, this false sense, material sense, is a betrayer and betrays mortal into discord. If the unimportant and evil appear, only soon to disappear because of their uselessness, of their iniquity, then these ephemeral views, can you see ephemeral views? That's not mind views. It's a counterfeit of mind. These ephemeral views of error ought to be obliterated by truth. Therefore, why malign Christian Science for instructing? Here you have again that Christian Science instructs mortals how to make sin, disease, and death appear more and more unreal. A question, she does not answer it, because the answer was, so to say, in the preceding lines and sentences, just showing why on earth should we not instruct people into the mind faculties, into the mind senses, when believing in the material sense, we, all what we earn is actually sin, sickness, and death. So her great command or call is to come out of that mortal mind testimony, out of those ephemeral views, into the views of mind that has real senses. So we have epitomized this saying that mind, not matter, has senses. Perhaps you can cross out real, because matter actually does not have real senses. It's just mind that has real senses. So it could be a bit misunderstood. So mind, not matter, has senses. And naturally these mind senses are real. So she has set the proposition, what she usually does in mind, that she sets the right proposition in contrast to the wrong proposition, and then from there she goes on to spirit. You see spirit at once emerge gently from matter into spirit. It's a very big sentence. The beginner in Christian Science, the neophyte, he doesn't like that. He likes to jump into heaven and take heaven by storm. And he believes he can do it, and it doesn't succeed. It takes much more to come out of matter into spirit than doing it just in one jump. It is a long weaning away from the material attitude, from the material sense, and to be cultured and educated into a spiritual sense of things. So it is nice to know that Mrs. Eddy does not expect us to achieve the whole ultimate just in one day, or in one week, or in one year, or in one decade. It takes a bit longer, and I think in this way we are more compassionate with ourselves and don't really ask and demand of ourselves too much right away. Think not to thwart the spiritual ultimate of all things. That's on the other extreme. Don't think you can get around the spiritual ultimate. So somehow in between of jumping out of matter in spirit and evading the spiritual ultimate, there is a great way of development that we have to go, and within that range of spiritual development, we really should gain our understanding. But come naturally into spirit, and not so damned unnatural. That's my expression. Because one always sees that the students of Christian Science, they always start at the wrong end and try really to be and become very soon unnatural. That doesn't attract people either. It is that we should stay natural and gently see that every time when we have an opportunity to try to have a higher sense of things and a more spiritual sense of things, but not start on the wrong end. So, but come naturally into spirit through better health and morals, and as a result of spiritual growth. So it's better health and spirit and better morals as the outcome of spiritual growth, and not as the outcome of a religious thou shalt and thou shalt not. It must be natural. See, again, it is a natural development. It's a spiritual growth. That's all the tone of spirit. You know that that spirit is the true nature. That spirit is development and unfoldment. That spiritual is spiritual growth. Mind is the creator. Spirit gives growth, gives spiritual development. So you get here a tone of spirit, not death, but the understanding of life makes men immortal. Again, it is understanding, which is spirit. So through understanding, not through death, do we get any, do we become immortal. Again, in a sense, don't try to think that we can somehow rush into heaven by saying, all right, if the material existence is wrong, then I better jump off, and the sooner the better, so that I get into the realm of life, of spirit. Well, we will wake up with the same consciousness, and we haven't achieved the thing. So again, it is a natural working out of things, an understanding of life that makes us immortal, and not just by making suicide and thinking this will solve everything and we will just be right in the spiritual. The belief that life can be in matter or soul in body, and that man springs from dust or from an egg. Can you see, it's all about that our origin seems to be in matter, that we grow out of matter, that we don't have a spiritual growth, but growing out of matter, out of dust, from an egg, is the result of the mortal error which Christ or truth destroys. How? By fulfilling the spiritual law of being. So we can see our understanding here is again showing that we are not coming out of a material origin, but that we are actually fulfilling a spiritual law of being. What is that spiritual law of being? For instance, the days of creation, that we unfold along the line of the creative order, the creative law of the 7 days of creation, starting with, let there be light, mind, let that light develop spirit, let that light become definite soul, so that that light becomes the many lights in principle. So that begins to move and leave us as the fifth day, and gives us the true manhood, which leads us to the fulfillment in the seventh day. This is a great, great fundamental law of life, the spiritual law of being. So go along that development. You see constantly in this passage of spirit that she wants to indicate that understanding is something that grows step by step. That understanding is not just some kind of a block of knowledge that you have to get, but that understanding is a way of development within ourselves. Understanding is not a knowledge outside of ourselves, it is the growth within ourselves of spiritual reality. And we can nurture that according to the spiritual law of being, in which man is perfect, even as the Father which in heaven is perfect. If thought yields its dominion to other powers, you get again the tone of spirit. There are no others in spirit. Spirit is the only. But if, that's an if sentence, if thought yields its dominion to other powers, it cannot outline on the body its own beautiful images. But it effaces them and delineates foreign agents called disease and sin. So if we do not go along that development, then something foreign to the spiritual law of being will then lineate itself in our life. That what we have in consciousness, that is what we experience. We never experience anything else but what we have in consciousness. We never experience something that is outside of our consciousness. That's so fundamental to Christian Science that we forget it only too often, that we think it's always the other and the circumstances that make us miserable. It's always we ourselves that make us miserable. So if we go along the law of the spiritual law of being, then we experience what we have in consciousness. We go on. Oh yes, now this is the tone of spirit which we have seen. We epitomized it here, to emerge gently from matter into spirit. Perhaps we could have chosen another epitome and perhaps put some kind of accent on the development, on the growth, you see, so that perhaps we also could say, I say that now with a purpose, namely to say, don't think that these epitomes that you have are the only possible rendering. The main point is that the tone is in it, and the wording can change and can be adapted a bit more. What we really have here, to emerge gently from matter into spirit, to have a spiritual growth, a spiritual development that is gentle.